All right, if you have your Bibles, open to the book of Isaiah chapter 50. That would be a good one to start with. Don't forget, this whole year we have been doing what we call faith basics. What we mean by faith basics, that is, there are some things that are fundamental to faith. We must never forget. That's what marks out Christianity. This afternoon I was watching, I want to say some things about faith and the basics thereof. I was watching Peter Daniels on KICC TV. A few of you may know about Peter Daniels, or many of us may. If you didn't know about him on your own, I think I mentioned him here and there as I've been preaching. Peter Daniels, and the Australian multimillionaire, a committed Christian. And I like stories like his, all right? I was just watching it today. And when my wife came, I was reciting the story to her again. I was so blessed by the story. The man said at the age of 26, he was an illiterate bricklayer. Australian, not Nigerian. No. All right? So, you know, illiterate. That is, he couldn't read, he couldn't write. Then he went for a Billy Graham crusade. And that was a turning point in his life. I said he heard the gospel preached to him. And that gospel showed him that, for goodness sake, he's a child of a king. And he's not inferior to anybody. And when he said it, I just realized that last week I went to preach in the Anglican church in Transecluse, St. Andrews. And one of those days, that was all I preached. I just emphasized that, listen, you're the child of a king, you're not inferior to anybody. That was a few days ago. Then I just saw Peter Daniels say it again today, that was what changed his life. After that, he began to read, taught himself to read. Let me make a long story short. He's a very successful man now, a multimillionaire, and all of that, you know. Giving out, in fact, one of the assignments, he said he has a number of visions for life. One, to see how much money a man that's arising like him out of poverty can give out in a lifetime. And number two, he wants to do something that will affect the world for 300 years if Jesus does not come back. I was watching him, you know, he preached a few years ago in Matthew Ashimolo's program in London. Now, why would I quote him? Talking about faith, he said that we talk about walk by faith, because he's trying to press Christians, all right, to go into the world of economics and, you know, become entrepreneurs, become commanders in the area of economics, all right? So he was saying something. He said, we shout all the time, walk by faith. He said, but all we are looking for is secure jobs. So that's not how people who are walking by faith behave. They're not looking for security in any job. They are walking by faith. So they are ready to take risks. They are ready to move out. And the way is, according to you, can be a servant leader is to get up and go and create a corporation and employ people. So that's how to be a servant and a leader at the same time. Now, why did I just refer to that? I'm talking about fundamentals of faith. So when he said that thing, I said, my God, this man is saying things that are really touching the central part of my heart. That is, there are some things that are fundamental to faith. And he was explaining that if all you are looking for is security in outward things, then you cannot testify to somebody else that you are walking by faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, faith is real. It's not just something we come to church to talk about. It's part of our everyday life. And you know, for me, every day I look at it, look at ministries and look at the word of God. I get really, really irritated when I see some people preaching, and it make Christianity look as if it's a joke. We just like to play. We like to gather on Sundays and just make ourselves feel happy. And there's no relevance concerning our everyday life. No, the word of God is real. The word of God is powerful. Yeah? In fact, I'm going to talk about that again today. God has something to say about everything in your life. And it's not just as if he's commenting about it. He's creating the ideal for you by the power of his word. That's what he uses all the time. It's so good that I watched that Peter Daniels issue, you know, this afternoon. Because the man said that... why was he illiterate at the age of 26? Because he was a certified... How do I describe it? Dullard. He couldn't learn. So when he was a child, they told him he was brain damaged. That's why he couldn't learn anything. He had severe dyslexia. He couldn't learn anything. One of his teachers, he called the woman's name Mrs. Phillips. Mrs. Phillips said that, no, he's not brain damaged, he's brain stupid. After a while, everybody gave up on him, and he grew up like that. Grew up from a very terrible background, a lot of relatives are in jail, stuff like that. But as a young man, he went to a Billy Graham crusade, and the word of the Lord came to him saying, you are not brain damaged. You are the child of a king. If only you will give your life to Christ. He gave his life to Christ. And he said, listen, I'm not inferior to anybody. By the time he was preaching, he was 71. So it's not somebody, look, he gave his life to Christ at the age of 26. He read 2,500 biographies. He's extremely informed. He's the one I told him, if I heard it from his mouth, I finally got it correcting from his mouth. He was talking about people taking his message that day seriously. He said, listen, there's no company that will retain me for the number of time I'm going to amount of time I'm going to spend preaching here. He was saying that will pay me anything less than $500,000. That in fact, he consulted for one company for 10 minutes and they paid $1,000,000. How many minutes? All right, you guys have said yes. 10 minutes. At the end of 10 minutes, they issued him a check, $1,000,000. And to tell you the power of his words, they made $120 million from what he said in 10 minutes. So I didn't think he was defrauding people. What impressed me about it is that the man said, I gave my life to Christ when I went for a Billy Graham crusade. The gospel was presented. A man who was certified as he couldn't learn anything, an illiterate white man, at the age of 26, he now began to learn. Read 2,500 biographies. The man is extremely informed. Became one of the most popular radio speakers in the country because he said he did a series in which he described morality as good business. That it is good business to behave morally. It helps your business to grow. Anyway, I'm not preaching Peter Daniels. What I'm just preaching, all right, is this afternoon it instructed my heart again that the word of God is real. That the word of God is what?
Real.
And the man is going around teaching every Christian. Listen, that being a believer, that's what I'm bringing out from it now. It's not just about coming to church. Look, that is, it affects every part of your life. It does. It does. And the things, look, when people say, when the people like Karl Marx said those, is that religion is the opium of the masses. All right? He spoke out of absolute ignorance. But you see, I don't want to blame him totally. That's the impression we gave him. That's the impression we gave him. There's one article, one of our brethren sent to our mailing group recently, and I've not finished reading it because I'm not very good reading on the computer. I like to read on paper. So I want to print it out and read it, all right? But I gleaned a few things from what he said. One man was commenting on how preachers preach. That he said that, they heard a man preach, and the man was saying in effect, that listen, the unbeliever is enjoying now, don't worry, you will enjoy later. As if God's job in life is to give you enjoyment. I don't know. The man was trying to say that, look, we're getting the reward thing wrongly. And that's why people like Karl Marx said that, okay, when they have failed in life, they can't do anything. The NASA is saying that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Why don't you just commit suicide on day one? You get what I'm trying to explain? So that's why Karl Marx said that, look, they're just fooling themselves. But what are we saying? What are the fundamental things about Christianity? We are saying in him was life. And that life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. What does it mean? That is, look, listen, ignorance is why people can never achieve anything in life. Now, when people don't know things, they don't have light, they don't have understanding, they remain in darkness. That is, they keep on suffering unnecessary sufferings because of lack of understanding. Let me explain what I'm saying. I was in my Bible place this afternoon, just a short while ago, and one young man, he came towards the door and he began to count money. And I noticed the boy. The boy is, let me not describe his personality, but he hustles and I appreciate it. You know, like if I park there, he comes, please, who owns this car? Let me wash it. So first time he did that to me, all right, I told him, don't bother washing my car. I'm in a hurry, all right? Usually I'm in a hurry. He said, look, don't wash the car. So when I was leaving him, I paid him for washing the car anyway, though I told him not to wash it. So, and the reason I paid him was just that I appreciated his willingness to walk. Do you understand my point? Now, so I saw him this afternoon again, and apparently he goes around doing stuff like that, and he was counting money. And the money doesn't look so small. He's a young boy. It was a good amount of money. All right, if you make that on a daily basis, you're not doing badly. But something struck me. That no matter how much this boy makes, if nobody gives him understanding, he will have to be working every day, all his life, like this, never leaving this cycle of poverty. That's what will make a difference between the money he's making, the few hundreds he's gathering every day, and whether he will be settled and comfortable in life, is light. It's not more money. It's what? Light. If you see these people that carry cement, you know, who offload trucks, if you know how much money they make, you want to resign your job and go and join them. See beggars on the road? Let them do their total take at the end of the day. You won't work again. No? You will start begging. Yeah, they make a lot of money. But you see, there's something about the beggar spirit that does not allow you to leave begging. So you can make money and be happy and think you are cheating everybody. But it doesn't give you light. You don't have light. So you can never break out from that cycle. You're always in there. You know, you keep moving round and round and round, you know. One cycle of, you know, today you beg, today have some money to eat tomorrow. Listen, your children will never be anything great except they believe in the gospel of Christ and that gives them light. Because that spirit of a beggar is a terrible spirit. What am I saying? When men don't have light, no matter the amount of resources they have, no, listen, there are few nations on the earth that has the amount of resources Nigeria has. There are very few. Rain falls, the type that God brags about in Canaan. You know what I'm saying? When God was taking children from Egypt to Canaan, he said, you are going to a land where rain falls. In Egypt, it does not fall. They use irrigation. Rain falls here predictably. If you hear this, you heard of drought in Nigeria since you were born? Think about it. You don't hear drought in Nigeria since you were born. No. It only reaches the fringes of Niger, getting close to northern Nigeria. Then it stops. The amount of light from the south drives it back into the wilderness. Say drought where? I'm telling you. We hear hurricane. Hurricane to us it's only found in American movies. We don't know what it's called. Yet, we are amongst the least developed nations on the earth. Why? Lack of what? Light. Light. Listen, people could have vexed a white man came and raided our country. I said, good. It's good they raided it too. If they didn't raid it, we won't do anything with it. They came and plundered. May God bless them for plundering. Because without those plunderings, we won't know what is there anyway. Now we are fighting for resource control. We know say resource there before. No be fish on surface with the catch. You get what I'm saying? The little development we had over the years was what those are the remnants of what they left behind. What am I saying? Without light, no matter the amount of resources you have, it amounts to nothing. It amounts to nothing. That's why understanding. David said, give me understanding and I shall live. Not give me money, I shall live. Not give me food, I shall live. It's give me understanding. The man with understanding, all right, he controls the resources of those without understanding. I always say that they say, white man came and made us slaves. I said, after he left, what did we do? We started going there and submitting ourselves as slaves. We will steal money, then go to him and say, shh, don't tell them, hide it for me. And he laughs. Slave mentality. Even when he leaves us alone, we can be blaming him. You know, people like to say that the white man hid the technology from us. It's not true. It's not true. You can't hide technology. If you know the white man, the way the white man behaves, he doesn't hide. He publishes. That's what he does. In fact, the only way he can hide his technology for himself is by publishing it. What do I mean? When he has published it, he gets a copyright. That's the only thing he does. So I don't believe that lie that the white man hides it. No, the problem is that we don't want to learn it. We don't want to learn it. We don't have the light of life to help us grasp it, even if he's doing it like this in your presence. What am I preaching? This is what Jesus came to give us. That which we did not have before. Light. Light. And believe me, if we walk in the light of the Lord, we, you and me, we make this nation so beautiful, people won't believe it. And believe me, it's happening. The problem is that the devil has seen that these people, they are getting understanding. So now, he's trying to deceive us and start telling us this is prosperity, make money, and we start falling for it. When you are praying, pray for the body of Christ in Nigeria, that all the preachers thereof will know the meaning of true prosperity. It's important. And that they will start teaching that truth that they have come to know. What am I trying to explain? Let's not glamorize things that are not true prosperity. And start fooling ourselves because my pastor drives a very big car. It means we are a successful ministry. Aren't nonsense. Aren't nonsense. The truth, if you pray for the body of Christ in Nigeria, this is what I'm saying. So, if we preach the truth, the undiluted truth, we don't come out to make merchandise of men's souls, all right? Using the word of God deceitfully, you'll be amazed at what you and I are going to do concerning the transformation of this country. God will just, listen, this, what I'm telling you is almost prophetic. God will come and say, you'll be my counselor. You'll be my senator. You'll be my legislator. You know, he will be picking and picking. Why he doesn't do it now is because the people are still stupid. If a man goes to a church and then he wins election, becomes a senator, they will do Thanksgiving. The pastors expect an extra offering. That's why God does not make them senators. He said they have not gotten my point. They have not gotten my point. I've said it. God, please remind me. I will teach people to do this. If a pastor one day, please, somebody in your church say, I'm going to politics. The way you ordain ministers who are going to preach the word, ordain ministers who are going into government. Make them take an oath before the people. I won't make myself rich. Listen, God commanded the children of Israel, when I give you a king, the king is going to make sure one thing, he does not make himself rich for being king. In fact, Solomon said, it's an advantage to the land if the man tills the land too. A lot of the behaviors of kings in Israel were taken from hidden lands around them. The original king that God wanted in Israel was not supposed to be like what most of the things that they had. That men will be carrying them up and down, worshipping them. No. It's more of when there's no wahala, where's the king? Yeah, where he went to supervise his croppers. They are there working on the field. If the whole land would develop, they shouldn't be bringing every small case to him. They should have judges all over the place. Who judge in the evenings? Walk during the day, judge in the evenings. Solomon said, it's an advantage to the nation when the king also tills the land. Now, listen, because one of the problems, you have to understand ideals and realities. What I mean is that when the people put pressure on him all the time, he can't do that. These are ideals that if all of them will grow up to what God wants them to be. What am I trying to explain? Listen, if we know the true order of God, we won't tell anybody. Look, listen, let me ask you a question. If I tell you now, maybe somebody can say, yesterday I was ordained into ministry and I'm supposed to take over maybe preaching from Pastor Banky. Are you going to tell him congratulations? You are going to look at him and say, oh boy, you sure? You sure? You fit? So you see, you're worried for him. Especially if you've never heard him preach. You're like, oh boy, how you going to do now? He has to prove himself for you. Do you understand what I'm explaining? So why do we tell the senator congratulations? If he's really going to walk the way it's supposed to be, not going there to go and share national cake, you'll be sorry for him. If any man is going to take public office, you'll be sorry for him. What am I saying? If indeed we consecrate ourselves that, listen, this is what I am going to do, and we consecrate ourselves to do that which God says is right, you'll be amazed at how rapidly God will pick all of us and make us what we never imagined we will be. The major problem he still has is that we still don't understand the gospel of prosperity. If I become a governor, I'm a member of a church, as Christianity is today, the pastor assumes that more millionaires should come out of his congregation. So when they are saying congratulations, that's what they are saying. And so God, since that's not what God wants to do, he's not in a hurry to make any, but in fact, God is, he likes the way it is. Let the Muslim, the unbeliever be the legislator, at least they won't disgrace me. If they steal money, it's after their kind. Nobody going to say, and he calls himself a Muslim and he's stealing money. Have you ever heard that before? It's and the man says he goes to a serious shrine and he's still stealing money. Have you ever heard that before? The only one you hear is that, and he says he's a Christian. That is the one you hear. That is the one you hear. Even those who criticize Christians, they know what to expect of them. Please, I hope you're getting the point I'm making. In him was light. Was life, sorry. And that life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. And darkness, under development, could not overcome it. Sickness could not overcome it. That thing that made a black man, generally speaking, made his nations underdeveloped, and made the white man superior, could not comprehend it. Everywhere that light entered, Miles Monroe said, the only nation on the earth, when he was preaching then, all right, that was ruled by black people and was a developed country, well ordered society, was the Bahamas. And the constitution of the country was written based on the scriptures. So you know that indeed, where the light of God penetrates, darkness cannot overcome it. Do you understand? Why did I go into all of that? That's why we are studying faith basics. That's why we are looking at what are the basic things about our faith we must never forget. I said she opened to one scripture. Where was that? Isaiah chapter 50. All right. We are talking about, of course. So in our faith basics series, we came to talking about the faith rest life. What God expects from the Christian. And I want to continue what we said last time. Don't forget what we've already explained, that there is what the Bible calls entering into his rest. And I've emphasized that when you enter into God's rest, you step into the place where his grace is functioning or begins to function in your life. And what that means is that you start doing the work of God and God starts doing his work in your life. And whatever it is that God does in your life is called the manifestation of the grace of God. So Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. God gives you something to do. Whatever your life gets as a result, as reward, or as manifestation of divine power in you, comes only by God's power. And therefore, that's why I've explained to us again and again, I'm practicing it myself. Anything you want in life, ask God for it. No matter how crazy it appears to everybody, ask for it. Don't walk towards it, don't labor towards it, just ask for it. Then locate what the work of God is for each day in your life. Why people cannot do that is because they just feel, you know, we can't understand that how can I arrive at a place I'm not pursuing after aggressively. No, divine order is that you can get to a place that you are not striving for. And that's what I want to continue again today, to explain the power of that rest. The power of the faith rest life. There's power in it. There's power in it. And whatever God brings forth, we say it has come by his grace. So a man's job is to labor. We read from Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4. We labor to enter into his rest. And what I wanted to talk about today, I hope I can get there, is that issue of how do I enter into that rest. We've been saying it here and there, but let's just put it together in one message. How do I enter into God's rest? Because anyone who manages to enter will discover that he will cease from his own works and God will begin to walk. And what I want to say first today is to end that part of it before I step into how do we step into God's rest. I want us to understand the issue of how our rest is very important with God. Listen to me. Listen to this. God does not walk if you are walking. Do you hear what I said? You didn't hear what I said? Whatever you are striving concerning, God does not strive about it. Listen. If you are striving about something, God doesn't do anything about it. Just wait. The only time he walks is when you have located what he said you should be doing. And you leave him to do what he's supposed to do. You know why? He doesn't like to share his glory. He doesn't like to share it. There's a book I have in my house. Something about profiles of success or something. Not very certain of the title now. It's a very nice book. And I read a lot of books. I'm always buying books and reading them. But anytime I'm reading, I'm always, you know, I sniff properly. So this is gospel. This is not gospel. It may be nice to the eyes, to the ears. It may be very emotional. It may make very nice movies, but this is not gospel. Human beings don't know how to judge. I've told you this thing again and again. They don't know how to judge. They don't know how to judge. They don't know how to judge. They They judge with the after the sin of their eyes, the hearing of their ears. They don't judge with righteous judgment. They don't. It's because of ignorance. He said, how did the man succeed? He woke up very early. He went about his business doggedly, forgetting. They refuse to tell you. 9 out of 10 people who wake up early go doggedly after their businesses fail. 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10. A lot of times, you can see a lot of the failures are manifestations of ignorance or wrongly doing things. Even after you fine-tune and see those who knew how to do it and did it properly, you find that most of those ones still fail. And those who succeed, most of them didn't even do it properly. They succeeded by accident. I told you to go and read this book, Outliers. Go and read it. You will discover that Bill Gates was not, he didn't become Bill Gates because he's smart. No. He became Bill Gates because of when he was born and the circumstance around life and then what the economy began to dictate. I always say, I don't believe that J.J. Okocha plays better than Odegbami of those days. You remember the Odegbami? Fregene. Remember Fregene? For those of you who are old enough, I don't believe so. They didn't make money. It was not the season in which football made money. It's true. You know Jekede Sokoya? Mm-hmm. You know how many years the man acted? Those were professional actors, not these small boys who just know how to shout and they put them on home movie. And small girls fall in love with them and the movie starts selling. Those are people who knew how to act. Did they make money? Easy season. Listen, people don't know how to judge. As they say, go and buy your children football. I say, that's nonsense. My pikin will not read book where I flog them properly. If I buy you football, it's because children should also play. Not because I'm hoping that one day you'll be a coach. Why should you be a coach? There's something you are going to become that the world has not seen yet. Are you getting my point? So I educate you globally and generally. I have blessed you with a blessing when you were born. Today I was thinking about it. My wife was very angry with two of my children today. They didn't do very well in school. Now they did well. They passed though, just by her standard. They didn't do well by her standard. Look, the aggregate was like 60-something or 70-something%. All right? So... But she knew why they did not do it, you know, like, because my daughter can vex. And when she vexes, she doesn't answer questions anymore. And the teacher cannot score you on when you are not talking. And you know, I was thinking about it, and my other son, that one, he must have gotten like 99 or something like that in the aggregate. You know, I was thinking about this afternoon. I said, that one, it doesn't concern me. I told myself a few weeks ago, my son Akinlu is hyper smart, naturally speaking. Naturally speaking, the boy is too smart. He's in primary 3, not going to primary 4. He's been top of primary 3 from beginning to the end. Let me remind you, he jumped 2 classes to get to primary 3. He didn't do primary 2. But I think about it, and I laugh to myself, that doesn't, as God is my witness, I like it too. I'm very proud of it, but does not make me think he will do well in life. It has not crossed my mind that, you see, this is, as it's going like this, the guy, he will make it. Now lie. If you like fail, you will still make it. That one doesn't concern. Look, it's good. It's good. You see, let me tell you something. Something happened. His younger brother. Now, he didn't talk as fast. I can look, you know, he was quite precocious, the child, you know, very, very early, talked very early. All my boys walk fast. I mean, they walk before the age of 9 months. Before 9 months, Benga, at the age of 8 and a half, was running all over the house. That's months, though. So that's just the way they are, all right? But unlike I can look, who talked very, very fast, Benga did not talk for the first 2 years plus in his life. What's the hurry? You have the whole life to talk, so... The boy didn't understand all this yakking away for what? Everybody's just looking at you. My mother-in-law was so worried at the time while I was not looking. She rushed into the hospital to go and be sure that the boy is hearing. I said, listen, mommy, you seem to forget that I'm a doctor. If a child is not hearing, I will know. I said, don't worry. Everybody has his own pace in life. Don't worry about it at all. So because of that, when he started going to school, of course, the first year, he didn't learn anything. I mean, like, he wasn't talking. Get my point? He wasn't talking. Just normal childhood noise, but proper words. No. So after primary one, he said he's going to primary two. Nursery one. He said he's going to nursery two. They had bought his book. I told my wife, don't mind the school. They're just doing their own business. My son is not talking yet. There's nothing a boy who's not talking is doing primary two. Returning to primary one. He said, his mates. I said, he doesn't have mates. He does not have mates. You know, I've been telling you that thing. I believe it both ways. He does not have mates. Nobody was there when you gave birth to him. When God wrote his destiny, they were not there. He does not have mates. He ain't talking yet. He stays in primary one until he starts talking. So my wife said, okay, went to the school. They pulled him out of primary two. Nursery two. It's not in nursery one. They started talking. I said, very good. So he learned to count, learned everything, learned to talk, learned A, B. Hey, I said, now you can move. Now this is the point I'm making. He said, his mates. I said, he doesn't have mates. One thing I know for sure is that every single one of these children that God gave me, everyone will be outstanding in life. I'm certain. I'm not competing with anybody. His brothers jumping classes and jumping people, it doesn't impress me. No, it does not impress me. That's not guarantee for anything. When he finished secondary school, we are going to discuss. So, you are going to university. I say, listen, education is not for success, it's for education. Success is based on blessing. How blessed you are, succeeded. Whether you go to school, you not go to school, you have succeeded. I know, that's my. So, we will now discuss. What would you like to do? We will talk. I will look into my spirit. He will talk about his desire. At the end of the day, listen to me. He may say, I have decided that I want to teach. Listen. If it has that, I think I will say, good. So you are going to school. You will go and study BED, Bachelor's in Education in what? You like biology, history, engineering, whatever it is, just go to school. When you finish school, then you do whatever you want to do in life. You can go and cure for a course that does not interest you. Because you hear that doctors are well paid. You want to die. Anatomy, you and anatomy are arch enemies. No. Bankers are well paid. You go and study banking. Meanwhile, accounting is your major problem in life. First year you work, you lose so much money, they sack you. After 6 years of plotting. If any of my children can say, I want to be a musician. I say, good. Before you be a musician, you first go and get me a BSc in physics. I'm telling you. After that, you will know how the sound waves come out of the pipe. You will know. Listen, this is, they don't get, that they will do well, forget. That was determined. There are things I bless God. God and I prayed to him about and I bless him for. Before I married, for example, the moment I married, I knew I would prosper in life. Material. You know why? I said, God, if I want to suffer, let me suffer on my own. So once you give me a wife, that is, you have said that, Vanky, you will not suffer, you will not, you are not a John the Baptist. Yeah, it's true. If you don't want to give me children, nothing spoil. But say you give me children and they won't be outstanding, that one will not happen. That one will not happen. Look. None of my children will be a cause of concern that I won't be able to sleep. What is he doing now? I don't know what he's up to. The angels slapping him back to order, they are too plenty. Listen, I'll tell you earlier in the day, I was listening to Peter Daniels. Peter Daniels said he doesn't understand this. They say that success, cost of success for what? That he and his children have never quarreled. The man was 71 when he was preaching. He said, my second son runs our global office. We have never disagreed. They can't understand why people say that, you know, teenagers. Say, what is that? His children went through teenage and they never had any problems. Let me tell you, look, listen. I was thinking about it today. Then when my wife comes back home, I usually can't walk much. And she claims that when I come back home, she can't walk much. From the study, she just come carry chair and sit down there. Then I thought to myself, we'll be married this year, will be 11 years. I don't know whether it's now I like my wife more. That time we were just married. I don't even know again. Yeah, no, really. What am I going to say? Let nobody deceive you that after some time you'll be so used to each other, you won't like each other again. It's not true. It is not true. Some of these people make you look as if they are natural. And you know, when children are growing up, they are rebellious to their parents. It's not true. You didn't flog them when they were young. That's your problem. You didn't explain to them who was the boss. You didn't use the word of God to train them. You did not pray for them. That's what the problem is. There's nothing natural about children being rebellious. Are you a sinner? No. No, I'm telling you. Listen. The world that you know it is natural when children reach this age. What's natural? What is natural that I know is that foolishness is born on the heart of a child, not as an adult, in a child. Then that is the time you do the surgical correction using the word of God and the flog. You know how we have the flog? If you do that while he is young, the Bible says when he grows up, he won't depart away from it. Every one of my children will give me peace of mind. If you like get 99 today or get one, is your problem. That in life you will not be outstanding. No. The child that would not be outstanding refused to be conceived in my wife's belly. I'm telling you. The troublemaker. When my wife wanted to conceive, the angel, they inspect them one by one. Jaguda, come on, move back. Move back. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Wait, how did we even get into this? I don't even know again. Anyway, let me just find my way back. I'll find my way back, alright? The point I just make it, alright, is that look, there's a peace of God, there's a rest of God, which we step into, alright? The world can't teach us anything, no. We use the word of God to build something, and we connect with the grace of God, alright? I don't know why I haven't gotten that special, but I remember that I said you wouldn't Isaiah chapter what? Let us read that one. Amen? Already we'll know where we were. In him was life. The life was the light of man. That's what I'm saying. It corrects everything. Believe me. Where men say we should go down, no, we are going up. Alright, let me read from verse 4. Now remember we're talking about the importance of rest as far as God is concerned, that God does not struggle concerning what, yeah, I was saying that. What we are struggling about, what he does is to give us what we are to do so that his grace can flow. He does not share his glory with anybody. Yes, I remember I was saying that. And the natural things are not the things he used to bring people to prominence. It's his blessing. All right. Verse 4, Isaiah chapter 50. So the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with the word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face for humiliation and spitting. For the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other. Who has a case against me? Let him draw near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Behold, they will all wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them. Who is among you? Please, this is where I was going actually. That you'd like to read in context and pick a few things from verse 5, 4 and 5. But main thing I was going to is verse 10 and 11. Who is among you that fears the Lord? That obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness, I like to read it like this, yet walks in darkness and has no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all who kindle a fire, who encircle themselves, Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with firebrands, walk in the light of your fire, And among the brands you have set ablaze, now listen to this, this you will have from my hand. He said, you will lie down in what? In torment or in sorrow. If you have a King James, my Bible, New American Standard uses the word torment.